Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. Once again, I am Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, we have a talented duo that's with us today.
That is very true. You know, one thing I really like about music is I really like good singing and I really like good music. And so this time we have, as you say, a duo. We have Dante Jordan and David Chance. They are Rough Ends. Guys, we're so happy to have you on the show. I mean, you're talking about your new... So Hopeless actually just came out last week, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. Definitely grateful. I just want to say thank you for having us on the show. So we're one dynamic duo talking to another dynamic duo, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I'm duo, man. Duo. Right, we're definitely right. Batman in our duo, Brett.
Oh, sure.
I'm Robin.
There you go.
So you guys are coming out with a new album, Rebirth, and you've got these three wonderful tracks so far. Hopeless, congratulations, and Be the One. You know, let's talk about those. Let's talk about the decision to bring back and do Rebirth as an album right now.
It's really the rebirth for so many reasons. 2000 was definitely not a good time to bring it out. So being with the new label, me and my brother being back together stronger than ever. The earth, I mean, the planet, everybody, every city across the world, man, it's like a rebirth for all of us. So with the rebirth comes new music. You know, we got to write the soundtrack to people's lives. You know, we take that responsibility very, very seriously. You know, like Spider-Man, with every great responsibility, you know, power comes great responsibility. So it's that kind of thing where as though, okay, we're writing the soundtracks to people's lives. So for us, the rebirth embodies quite a few things. Surviving 2020, surviving 20 years as a group, and the new music, this new album that's totally written and produced by me and my brother. My brother produced the album when we both wrote the album. So it's, it's perfect. Shout out to the label SRG Universal for actually coming up with the name, the executive Clyde, the CEO over there, came up with the name Rebirth. So we thought it was perfect.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is obviously a great title. Now you talk about the idea of writing the soundtrack to people's lives. Like, how important is it then when people come and say, you know, because I've read so many comments on your music and have them say like, oh, this song means so much to me, or even I like playing this, you know, when I'm on a date or something like that. There's so many, you know, uses for music in that regard. But like, what does it mean to you guys?
It means everything, man. You know, music brings people together that you would, we don't even know. You know what I mean? It's a way to connect with people that we've never met, you know? So it's, you know, when people got married to our song, when people fell in love to our song, it's like being in people's lives, you know what I mean, without being there, which is weird, but kind of like having a superpower. Since we're on this whole superhero theme, might as well keep that going. But literally, it really is. It's a way of connecting with people, and the pleasure, the satisfaction that, you know, and I remember the first time I met someone that I never met before, and they were like going on and on about the song. And it just made me feel a certain way. It made me feel like, okay, this is my purpose on this planet. You know what I mean? To do that. And it was a positive impact. You know, it was like they were talking about being in love. And this is a song I played for my girl when I, you know what I mean? And that's what we want our music to do. We want our music to bring people together. You know what I mean? And I feel like at the end of the day, man, we all want to be in love with somebody. We don't want to be alone. We want to be have someone, you know, some friend. And that's, you know, that's our purpose in life, to make the world better through our platform, which is music.
That's awesome. I love that. When did you two meet exactly? Where, how did you meet? And when did you realize you had this chemistry together?
In high school, high school, it was a profound moment for so many reasons. First of all, you got one of the coolest names on the planet. I gotta write that down. second of all, it's like when you hear the answer to something. It's like when you hear the answer to something and you just know it's the truth when you hear it. You ever had that feeling like you never heard it before, but you hear something like that makes sense. That you know, it was a vibe, it was a click feeling. So in high school, I was coming from off the streets. You know, I was out in the streets a lot doing things and you know, running around. And when I first came to the high school, because I actually wasn't even going to school like I was supposed to. So actually when I came to school, the first day I came, I seen David and a couple other guys in the music room by themselves, actually cutting class, I think. I'm sorry, bro. I ain't mean to tell them. But
it's the truth.
But they were sounding good. And the school was big hallway. So it got an acoustic that carries. When you first come into the school, the music wing was right off to the left. So when you first come in, I heard it. So I was just coming to check out the school and see what was going on up there, you know, sniffing the grounds out before I come and put myself in school for real. And David was at the piano. He was teaching the other guys some harmonies. They were sounding really good. And at the time I was young. I was with a group. I was at the tail end of kind of being with a group of a bunch of older men, but it wasn't really working out. And I don't know, when I linked up with David, it was like, even with the other guys there, me and David still clicked. So when the group didn't work out in school, me and David was still together. When the other group we had at the school didn't work out, me and bro was still linked. Eventually, a good friend of ours named Ruscola, he was a part of the second coming of Drew Hill, legendary group, I know y'all probably know as well. But they're also friends of ours from Baltimore. And he basically told us and gave us the stamp of approval and the confidence that we could do it by ourselves, that we didn't really need four people or even three people. So at that point, that was the beginning of Rough Ends. You know, Dave and Brown, we were still Dave and Brown at that point. We wasn't even Rough Ends at that point. But we knew that was the beginning of something, which brings us to right now.
How important is Baltimore to your music?
Baltimore is very important, man. It's a lot of pain in that city. There's a lot of hurt, but there's also a lot of love, a lot of character, a lot of friendship. So as a group, when we sing with the conviction and we embody that pain, you know what I mean? So I think it's a part of the Baltimore sound. A lot of groups that come from Baltimore sing a certain kind of way as well. I think this is a part of who we are as artists, you know. And of course, the experiences of our city, you know, it gives us a lot to write about and a lot of things to talk about as well, you know what I mean? So we've had a very colorful childhood, I'll say it that way. Very interesting.
You know, it's great that you guys have managed to carve out this career. And I mean, I guess when you think back, did you ever imagine yourselves here? I mean, here we are, 2021, fifth album coming out. And I mean, ready to kind of, you know, retake the world, I guess.
As ollie as it sounds, yes. As ollie as it sounds, yes. It was... I'm gonna say this about us, and I'm gonna say this for upcoming artists, producers, actors, anybody inspiring to be better or to chase the dream, or whatever the case is. one of the things that connected me and my brother like so strongly was our ideals and our understanding of how to navigate life and how this world kind of works, you know? So one of the things we did from young is made a decision that we weren't gonna call what we wanted dreams anymore. We were gonna make them goals. A dream is something that you can hold on to as tight as you want to. When you wake up, all you're gonna have in your hand is fingernail prints. You're gonna have nothing. So it's like, to make it a goal is something obtainable. It's something that you can make tangible. You can bring to fruition. You know, you take steps to make to get things within your grasp as a goal. So to us, while other people were saying, you're chasing a dream, you better get a job. You want a girlfriend and you want a normal life in the house. And I was like, well, I mean, I want a normal life. You know, what I'm aspiring to be is something different. And I don't expect you to understand. I don't expect a lot of people to understand. So me and my brother, our understanding was the same. Like, bro, this is not a dream. It's not a dream. This is reality. These are goals. We make a demo. We find a deal. We find a manager, whatever the case is, and we bring our music out. So to us, I mean, that's in our interviews when we were young. That's what we said in our interviews. We want longevity. We want longevity in the industry. They said, what do you really want in the industry? What do you see yourself in 10 years? Still in the industry, still putting out music. 20 years, still in the industry, still putting out music, producing, doing movies, still in the business. So that's a great question.
So how does the songwriting work between you two? What's kind of the process from the start, the conception of the song, through the lyrics and the final production? How do you guys kind of go about it?
Exactly. It was kind of like how when we first met, you know, I'm kind of more on the musical side and arrangement side. And I kind of make sure the hooks are strong, and my brother is, I mean, he does melody as well, you know what I mean? But he definitely makes sure the lyrics is right because he's a lyrical genius. So with those two,
can I just cut you off real quick? Can I just, I know you're like, you off. Can I cut you off real quick?
Go ahead, bro.
Well, my brother, listen, well, my brother, before he was born, he was in his mother's stomach. She put her hand on her stomach and said that this child, which was the last, you was the last one? The last one is going to be known around the world, is going to play multiple instruments. When I met this brother, he was playing the piano, right? He's playing the guitar on the second and this last, and this next album. He plays like what? 4 or 5, maybe more instruments. So I just wanted to cut him off and say that, like, because he wanted to talk about me as a lyrical genius. I hear you, but thank you very much. But this young man produced the whole album. He did every track on the album. So that's a great testament to just a solid formula for me. You know, I love his vibe. I love him as a producer. He's one of my favorite producers. So in a way, we're kind of cheating. I say we cheating as a group, we still writers and producers. So the milk ain't gonna never stop coming from the cow. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, cow forever. Hey, brother, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
You good, bro. But that's pretty much the flow, man. It's just like, you know, it's like a yin and a yang, you know what I mean? Even in the direction side of things, like I started doing, getting into film, and my brother is in acting and voiceover. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? A marriage, if you will, you know, of our creative talents. So
did you guys record your latest here in like a home studio? Is that how you did it? Or
yeah, this is the studio right here that did Rebirth. And,
nice.
I mixed it here. I did all the mixing myself, and it was mastered. I forget the gentleman's name, but he's mastered a lot of albums on SRG, like Brian McKnight, Raheem, a lot of big names. So we got it mastered with him. But yep, this is the home studio that has done Soul Brothers and the Rebirth album. So this is where we call it the funk room. You know what I mean?
It's got great acoustics, doesn't it?
Well, it's not, you know, with, you can kind of record anyway. We don't really record for the acoustics. You know, we have a microphone and a little thing that kind of deads the sound or whatever, but, you know, this is a studio album, not more of a live album. So we do have some live albums that you will hear coming down the pipe. So we're excited about that as well. So, yeah.
Well, what I like about your music is it's the type of music I can just sit there, close my eyes, and it's just smooth, and I can just enjoy the experience. It takes me off to a different place, you know, all sorts of different places, like a journey.
Indeed. I love that.
Appreciate that, bro.
Yeah.
That then.
No.
Like me, look, one thing that I missed about, you know, I don't know if you, well, I'm sure you guys remember the good old cassette tape days, you know what I mean?
Oh, you betcha.
I've had my cassette tapes, I remember when I first got a Walkman, and it wasn't mine, I was borrowing it, you know, but when I think my brother ended up getting another one, and he let me use that one. So those walks home turned into, like, journeys home, because I just had those headphones to put on, and as soon as I put them on, everything I was seeing was a video, you know what I mean? I was just, like, lost in a different world, so it's crazy you say that. The power of music.
Those were the best days, though, right? I mean, you would lie down wherever, you'd walk, you'd have the headphones, and you would just be listening. Like, I mean, I know, and we talk about this with other people, but like the experience of just kind of opening up the cassette and all the liner notes and music was just such a full and complete experience back in those days.
Full experience. You couldn't have said it any better than that. I loved it when you said the opening up. You get to see who did what. You get to read. You get to touch. It was like a tangible thing that it made it like just a whole experience, like you said. It was a birthday every time you got a new CD or new tape.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, and it's so hard. Like, it's tough to not have that kind of that same experience nowadays. I mean, you want everybody to just kind of go out and buy everything so that, you know, you can have that similar experience now.
Indeed.
Oh. And I see Dante, you're opening up the CD, so.
Exactly.
Wanted to feel it, man. You had me feeling some kind of way. I wanted to feel it. That's like saying, oh, don't you love the new car smell? And then you see me on my camera walking out to the car, going in the car. What is Dante doing? I wanted the experience, man. I took the plastic off. Had to crack it open.
Well, and yeah, and that's nice looking packaging right there too. I mean, it's a great cover. Like, and that's one of the things. Like, it's funny because I was scrolling through the new releases, and Hopeless came up on the new releases. And the thing is that the photo and just the cover image, it just popped to me right away. And I was just like, all the other stuff that's there, but bam, and I see Rough Ends, and I think that's awesome. That's great for you
guys. Wow, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Well, shout out to my son Michael David. I produced the whole album, but he actually has a couple tracks on his album as well. But he actually did the photo cover. This is the first interview I'm actually saying that on, but he's a prodigy of mine and the group as well. So he actually took those pictures that you see that's on the album cover. So keeping it in the family, as they say, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic whenever you can do that kind of thing.
Man, you got to look. He loves music, so we're trying to just get him in the environment, you know, and so he can grow up and learn, you know, be exposed.
What is it that's different about the music industry that's better now than it was when you guys started, and what is it that's worse?
Man, y'all got some great questions. I definitely got
great questions. really good questions.
I'm loving your platform. I don't care if you ain't sitting in the one of them big studios with the rolling around cameras. Don't mean nothing. Y'all have a great platform, and thanks for having us on. So It's like a double-edged sword. So access to be able to reach the masses without a middleman is a good thing in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways it's got its downsides too. So we kind of talked about this yesterday, and to me it boils down to, it cuts out A&Rs and artist development. So without A&Rs, for a lot of people that don't know, A&Rs are the people from the label that they go and they handpick artists to get signed to the label. And a lot of times the A&R will be a part of the artist development, which is, you know, they make sure the artist's clothes look good and they sound right, and if they need vocal training, or if they need media training, artist development, you know, what to say on camera, what not to say, how not to act. People might put their, I used to put my face in my hand, you know, my hands in my face a lot when I talk on camera as a nervous reaction. Media training teaches me to keep my hands, to try to, you know, keep my hands down, stuff like that. So the good thing is, you know, some of these situations for artists wasn't a good situation when it came down to that money and to things like that and having a good contract. So to get right to the artist and be able to put their music out to the world is definitely a beautiful thing. There's definitely enough room for everybody. The world is a huge stage. You know, it's room for everybody. And like I said, the bad side is just, you know, not enough time and energy being put into the artist development, you know, the nurturing of the artist, their craft, their look, how they present themselves in public, all of that stuff. So, I mean.
How do you guys feel that you can help the next generation then? You know, you talk about telling them not to have dreams, but to set goals. That's one thing. What else do you guys kind of do to give back? I mean, you talk again, David, about your son and everything like that. What is it you guys are kind of, I mean, that's part of your responsibility too, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, as far as giving back, man, we are a group that love to give back. We support local businesses, especially everything that's happened in the Black community. So we support a lot of Black-owned businesses. The videos that we shoot, we try to use up-and-coming people. We've always kind of done things locally in our city to help our city, you know what I mean? So one of the things that brought us back together, actually, when we've been separated for over a decade, was our city being on fire. I don't know if you guys remember, Freddie Gray had passed away. And I was actually, and this is just to give you how divine things work. I'm in the car. I haven't seen Dante in years. I haven't spoken to him in a long time. But I'm in the car in a place in Baltimore called Pikesville, Maryland. It's a very Jewish area, and it's a lot of Jewish people. It's the Sabbath as well. So they're walking the streets with families. And so I'm in the car and I'm actually talking about Dante at this time. I'm like, you know, every time I turn around, sometimes, you know, I haven't seen him in a while, but sometimes when I go outside, I'll see Dante everywhere. I'm like, look at that guy. He looks like Dante. That looks like Dante. And actually I turned the corner and I'm about to say it again, not knowing that this time I say it, it's actually Dante. And he's actually, now I'm going to switch over to Dante's side. He's on the phone with someone that just was at a show that he just did. And he did a show because, you know, promoters still wanted to hear Rough Ends. And at this time he was out doing shows with another guy that was filling in for me. And the girl was on the phone going on and on about how she needs to get me back in the group, right? He was like, oh my God, you know, it's cool. He can sing, but you got to get your other partner. Y'all are two different animals on stage. She's going on and on. And he can't even get a word in. She's just going on and on. And so he's on the phone and he like looks over. He sees his car pull over. Now, of course, back to me, I see, when I realize it's Dante, I'm like, oh my God, that's Dante. I get out the car and I just pull the car. I didn't even park. I pulled the car over to the side shut the door and I start running towards him. And while he's on the phone with the girl, he's like, he's trying to get a word in. Hold on. David is actually running to me right now. She's like, what? Yes, he's on his way to me right now. And it was like something out of a movie. I'm like running in slow motion, you know what I mean? Kind of a thing. But that was the reconnection, man. And that we both couldn't say nothing to that. That wasn't, you know, we were both, it wasn't just running into each other. It what was happening at the same time when we ran into each other. We both were speaking about each other, speaking about each other at the same time. So it's like, that was the beginning of us getting back together. We did a song called Time for Change, which is a song for Baltimore to really give back, because we're not political. We don't know politics, but what we do know is music, and that's our voice. So we kind of wrote a song for our city and for the, you know, for that whole, you know, for what was going on. And it was our first, I guess, time back together. And that again, I guess, was the rebirth of us coming back together, you know?
Such a great song too. I love that. I mean, but I will say, Speak to My Heart is my favorite song of your guys.
Oh, man. That's what's up, brother.
I hate to do this because I'm having an amazing time. We were asked to go 20 minutes. We've gone way longer. And I know that we are totally out of our time to speak to you guys. And it's a shame because I love it. I'm enjoying this so much, but I want to give you guys the chance to tell everybody where to keep up with you guys in Rough Ends.
You can find this at Official Rough Ends. That's Official Rough Ends with a Z at the end on Instagram, Facebook. You can also pre-order the album. The album comes out April 2nd. As well as the video. You can pre-order the album at srgstore.com and also get an autograph picture when you order it on srg.com. Personally autographed, not a stamp. You sign every last one of them. we are The Real Rough Ends on Twitter. And definitely tap in with us. We don't even have enough time for that. We have a lot of stuff we're working on for y'all, a lot of stuff coming. So please stay tuned. Make sure y'all get the album. Tell us what y'all think. You know?
I definitely want to add this as well. Like you said, at Official Rough Ends, when you stay on our social, you'll get the updates of what's going on. This Friday, we're premiering the Be The One video. It's going to be premiering this Friday on Vimeo as well. And we're going to be in New York this Friday as well. At Times Square, promoting our album. We have an album release in Times Square. So all my New York fans, come on out and support with us. It's gonna be a social distance event as well. So it's gonna be outside. So, you know, that's gonna be extra good for that whole thing. But we're excited. We got a documentary of our story that's gonna be coming out later this year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of more visuals for the Rebirth album. And so we're excited about that. Shout out to SRG Universal, the whole team at SRG that's doing an amazing job. Our management, Terry Harvey, the professional group, the whole Rough Ends team. And again, we want to give it back to you guys, man, for having platforms like this to really help us connect with our fans. You know, it's platforms like yours that really help bring us back. You know what I mean? So we appreciate your platform and you taking the time to have us on.
Well, I like this part at the end where you talked about how great I am. That worked for me. Yeah.
Indeed, brother. Well, you are, man.
We've had such an amazing time. We love you guys. And honestly,
we got to do this again because I think we was about to go in right now. The duo is something going on.
Totally, man. Oh, yeah. We could easily spend an hour together because I know we could talk. There's no question about that.
And you guys had some good questions, which was really good. You know, so that's what I liked about it. You know, not everybody, sometimes we get the same interviews and we're like saying the same thing in every interview. So it's good to say something different and speak on things different, which the fans kind of hear something different from us. So
that all works. Absolutely.
Really cool. Appreciate that, guys.
We look forward to talking to you guys again. And like I say, wish you nothing but the best and you know, keep safe and keep on singing, man.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. All right, Dante, David.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Bye now. Thanks a lot.
Girl, I pray you never change, 'cause I don't know.